the tabletop. Take away
game mechanics on display.
Three designers share the stage.
Pick a genre and we'll play
the tabletop. Take away.
Welcome back to the Tabletop Takeaway. Today, we're going to be talking about Paperback, a game by Tim Fowers. I'm Ananda Gunaratna.
I'm Charlie McCarran.
And I'm Trevor Muller-Hagel.
Paperback is another deck-building game to continue our series, and this one is a word game. So your deck is going to be made up of letters, some of which are wild cards that can be used as any letter, and you're going to be using them to make words. Your words will score points, and you use those points to buy new letters and also fame cards, which thematically have covers from sort of pulp fiction novels.
Yeah.
The flow of the game is pretty simple. On your turn, you spell a word using the letters in your hand. Each letter provides a certain number of points. You use those points to buy any number of cards from the market, generally one, which you add to your discard pile, Dominion style, and then your turn is done. And the game goes until one of two things happens. First, there are four piles of fame cards, in addition to a row of letter cards, or two rows of letter cards in the market. And if two of the piles of fame cards run out, then the game ends. And there's also some common cards, which are worth points. And if you are the first player to spell a word with a certain number of letters, you get to take one of the common cards, revealing the next one. And if all of the common cards run out, the game ends. And each time one is taken, the length gets longer. So the first one you get if you spell a seven-letter word, then the next one is if you spell an eight-letter word, and so forth. Actually, interestingly, the common cards can also be used by anyone when they're spelling a word, in addition to whatever they have in their hand. So it creates a sort of mini goal to spell a word, not just using the letters in your hand, but also incorporating the common letter. Or sometimes it's something special like a space bar, which lets you make two words. And that's pretty much the game. The fame cards are worth a lot of victory points, but they also count as wilds, mm-hmm. which is one thing that I find kind of interesting, just comparing that with Dominion. Because in Dominion, victory point cards are just completely useless. But fame cards are not completely useless. They're wild cards, so they make it easier to spell words, although they are not worth any points during the game for points in the sense of the points you use to buy new letters and right.
Yeah.
So they do sort of clog up your deck by making your words worth fewer points, but they also make it easier to spell words.
And I think that's a really good trade-off to have in general if you're going to have a wild. And I think with a word game, you need to have wilds. Especially a deck-building one where you have five cards in your hand. If you don't have wilds, it's going to be a really rough ride because you're not going to be able to spell anything.
I liked the game. I think it's a good implementation of, like, word-building, deck-builder.
I also think we need to just let everyone know that when we played it, you two both scored in the 50s and I got a 16.
Sure.
So I'm going to be a little bit jaded still. Sure. I'm recovering from it still.
Useful context.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, yeah, it is just an inherent weakness of word games that not everyone likes spelling things.
For whatever reason, I have a hard time spelling when put on the spot. But I'm an excellent speller, but like creative spelling, I like, why would I need to do that? It makes no sense for my brain. Scrabble has never been a great one for me either. Like, and that's okay. That's just me.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, though, I think I made a little bit of a faux pas at the beginning because I did not know about the common letter.
Well, and I forgot about the common letter,
okay,
too.
Great. Awesome.
Which would have probably have helped.
That would have helped. It probably would have helped for sure. It would have gotten me to – I had two turns where I got to draw a cube that was worth 1 point in the future because I could not play my cards and make a good word that was worth more than one purchase.
Right, because the minimum you need to buy anything is two.
A two, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one thing with word games, it's like I've been worked on a few word games, and Alphabet Stoop is mine. That's also letter building. It actually sort of reminds me of that. but the ability to use wild letters as the vowels or consonants, right. Like in Alphabet Stoop, you start out with only consonants and you're adding the vowels to that. And I was noticing in this one too, they have just consonants like the R-L-S-T-N-E, I think, or maybe, I don't know if you even have any.
There's some U's. There are some U's in the letters. Not in the starting ones.
Not in the starting.
But yeah, most of your vowels come from wild letters or from the common letters.
Yeah. Which I think is a smart way to do if you're doing a letter.
Yeah, you need vowels, and that's a hard thing to do in any word game, because like you just make a ton of E's, because that's tough. Yeah, having them be wild and have them just not be worth actual purchasing power, I think is a great call.
Well, and it's great that it's also sort of incorporated into the victory points, because as you're going through the game, you're naturally going to get more wilds because you're buying points, and then you can use those as vowels in your words.
Right. Mm-hmm. More useful provinces, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. But they still have the downside of reducing the score of your hand on average.
Mm-hmm. I remember when we were both, Ananda, you were also working on a word game, spelling game, and we were talking about how it's cool how each letter can be, have like a variable
utility?
Yeah, utility, value at any given time.
It's
just leaning on this like huge knowledge base.
Yeah. I think that's the key advantage of word games, which is that in most games you need to keep the numbers of patterns a player needs to keep track of pretty limited to avoid overwhelming them. But in a word game, everyone has language built into them already, and so you can just lean on that and have just a huge, huge number of possibilities for the different types of moves that they can make, given any set of letters, because recognizing that letters form a word is something that is relatively easy for our brains to do compared to, recognizing, I don't know, a very good chess move
or something. Sure. Yeah.
So you have a big advantage there.
The advantage, but also the disadvantage that people feel more stupid if they can't do something that they, do all the time.
He's talking about me, everyone. It's okay. I understand.
It's okay, Trevor. You are not alone.
I'm an accountant. Leave me alone.
I think one nice thing about paperback, at least compared to, I like Scrabble a lot, but it can be a little bit analysis paralysis inducing. And one nice thing about paperback is your challenge is very simple. You want to use all the words in your hand, or not all the letters in your hand. And the amount of points that the letters are going to be worth is generally fairly static. So some of the letters have special abilities that care where you put them in the word.
Yeah, which I actually really like that.
The special abilities were cool.
Yeah.
But it's very different than in Scrabble, where any given letter could be worth wildly different amounts depending on where on the board.
Triple word score.
Yeah.
So it does make it easier to figure out what the optimal move is, because you just need to use as many of your letters as possible.
Right. And sometimes it means having a specific letter in a specific spot, like having an R at the beginning of the word. But that, I can think of R words typically. Mm-hmm. But I also really appreciated that the purchase market was, it was different from both Dominion and Clank. Clank was purely randomized. Dominion was, everything was revealed. There were multiple decks that would have two cards displayed at any given time, and it scaled up in terms of cost. And I thought that was just really nice, I can only afford 5 and lower. And so it's like, okay, I'm looking at these colors and down. And that makes it just really easy to, parse out what you're going to do. And I know for Dominion, we, order it typically from lowest to highest, so we can naturally do that. But given that there, 8 decks total? 2 to 9?
I believe.
I don't remember how many. Yeah.
It's a pretty significant number. And then if you're doubling all of that, then that means it's a purchase of 16 different decks, which surprisingly is the same as Dominion. It's a fascinating, like, you're still analyzing the same amount of information as Dominion, but you're able to really truncate it, which is really nice. And then, like, as you get higher up, you're able to get better abilities and more interesting letters that give you more points or more purchasing power. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really liked how that was laid out.
Yeah, and I think in response to what we were talking about with, like, you can do... You just have to make a word as best as you can. And I would say the first few rounds was like, yeah, obviously it's easy to make a word pretty much using all your letters for most of the first game. And so, yeah, if I had any critique, it would be, I wish it was a little harder at the beginning. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, I wouldn't want it to feel like it's slowing down.
And I wonder if that was the main point, too, for them, is that, like, between the two different types of game players, like, if I'm coming into this game, it's like, oh, man, I have an R and the rest are wild. That gives me 1 point.
Well, we also forgot about the common.
We forgot about the common.
Which
obviously, like, if I had R and I could have made a word out of R and I and four wilds.
I guess, yeah, if I was pushing it, it would have been that extra letter would have added a challenge.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Then my second hand was all consonants, and I'm like, well, great.
Yeah.
I had one wild, though, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think my takeaway actually stems from one of the variants in the game, because we sort of played with this at the last minute when I was like, okay, guys, I have to figure this out because this is an amazing hand.
Yeah.
And that was a really fun moment.
That was, 24 points or something ridiculous?
Unquench. And unquench. I just laid my cards down and Ananda said, unquench. And I was like, oh, well, now I have to use that because it's amazing. And one of the variants is that you can ask for help from another player.
Right.
And they get a point if they help you out. And yeah. I think
and to clarify, point in this context is a cube that you can spend
as a resource.
It's a little confusing because there's victory points and then there's the points that you use to buy things.
Right, sorry. Yeah. So you got a cent, 1 cent from that.
Right. I was rewarded 1 cent.
Yeah. So I think that's a really clever mechanic that I'd love to see in more games. Or
asking for help and getting a reward.
Yeah,
but the person not having to pay something from their resources.
Oh yeah.
Like, I think it's great that the game effectively pays for it.
And it would probably be trickier in other games because everyone is going to say, "Well, this is going to benefit you more than me." I don't know if I
right.
want it. Like, A lot of people think that way. I know Ananda is looking at me. He always would like to benefit himself too. But I think it works particularly well in this one because you feel clever for helping someone.
Oh, like, yeah. You get that kind of little carrot.
Yeah. In another game, if it was just a purely mechanical transaction, but you actually get to feel clever by coming up with the word.
And a point. Or a dollar.
I mean, it's easier to do this sort of thing in a word game because there is so much scope for creativity and coming up with words.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I do wonder, like, could that translate to a strategy game where it's like, I want to figure out the best move. Like, what is the best move? And then someone could give you a consultation.
Yeah.
So I would love to talk about my takeaway as well.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, Paperback. It is not your fault. But... I am going to say that if you are designing a deck building game, make sure that someone can do something on their first turn. No matter what, there can't be a randomization element that prevents them from being able to participate in the gameplay. I could have spelt a word. And obviously, like, the common letter thing we didn't know about, definitely not Paperback's fault. Yep, no harm there. But it just made me realize, like, how much it was hard to, like, I'm going to not recover from this because I got a cube. Like, let me not play that time. And I got that same resource cube that Ananda got. But that was my whole turn. And so I was able to use that in the future. And I was able to get something a little bit pricier. So I think I got a 4 point or 4 cent turn the next time. And I got an extra one. So it's 5. Oh, great. That's awesome. And my very next turn was the same starting hand I had. I was like, what the hell? And so, you know, I was having a really hard time with that and realizing, like, okay, And this is something that a lot of designers should hopefully already know, but if you don't know this yet, make sure to test those starting hands, mm-hmm. especially for deck builders. You have to be able to do something every time. Mm-hmm. Can be something small, can be just something to set yourself up in the future. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess my takeaway would involve what I saw as the push and pull between the difficulty of the letters in your hand and the reward that you get.
Oh, yeah.
As you gain more and more valuable letters, it becomes harder and harder to spell a word. And this is not, this I don't think was really a factor in the other deck builder games. There wasn't really a puzzle to solve with your hand.
Like, not really.
In Dominion, there are choices you have to make, like, you know, which card is more likely to be good for you, but it's not that hard of a choice. And in Clank, there isn't really, you know...
You play all of them anyway, so...
Right. And in this one, you want to play all of them, of course, but you have to... there's a puzzle to solve of what word can I make that will use all of these. And the more high-value letters you have, the harder that puzzle is going to be. But the more you are rewarded for it. And then as you get more and more wild cards, the challenge becomes easier, but you're rewarded less for it.
Right.
So I guess if in a deck builder, if you can come up with some sort of puzzle and have victory... I just really like the way that victory point cards aren't useless. They make the puzzle easier and reduce the rewards you get for it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But then when you spell really... difficult words, you're rewarded for it. I really just like that back and forth between how hard is it to spell a word and, you know, what do you get from it?
Right. Yeah. Well, and some of them are multiple letters too. And so trying to fit a T-I somewhere or an I-T, it's like, oh, well, I can probably make that work and it's worth 3 points instead of just one. I'm going to try and make that work.
Well, and it's more letters, so it makes it easier for you to claim one of the common letters as a reward.
Yeah.
I felt cool about pursuing that strategy. I bought double letters every time, I think, that I could.
My first one was a double letter.
Yeah.
And that scored me a lot in the future, which was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess victory point cards don't need to be useless. I think just if they have a use that isn't directly going to help you, you know, a use that just makes things a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well... And to what you just said, too, made me think back to Dominion and what is the puzzle of your hand. And if we were going to break that down, it really has to do with the card draws and, like, what are
the
mysterious things that you don't know. Right. Like, obviously, you want to play as many cards as you can. But really, what your risk is what are the cards going to be that I draw? So the plus cards. Yeah. And when you do attacks, is it going to actually affect them or do they have a defensive card in their hand?
Right. And actually, now that you mention it, one really interesting thing in paperback is I don't think I saw any card. I didn't see any things that let you draw cards on that turn.
No.
It's all
next turn.
Yeah, you get a card next turn, which is really nice, actually.
Yeah.
There's no unknown factor to wonder about.
Right.
I mean, as someone who has a hard time with word games, I was like, oh my God, I have to come up with words every time. Okay. And I was like having to think about it until almost it was my turn. And thankfully I was able to play it. And like, great. I didn't have to just sit there and think for the next 30 seconds, you know?
So, I mean,
that's smart. Yeah.
Maybe that's another takeaway. Like, you know, well,
and that's, so this is a real big callback to Carcassonne. Where a house rule for a lot of folks is that they draw at the end of their turn so that they can see what they have. And so when it comes to their turn again, they know where they're going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though rules as written, it's you draw a card at the beginning of your turn or a tile and then play. Like that, being able to give players that time, not everyone's going to use it, but, you know, it can help make things flow a little bit easier.
Yeah, actually, maybe that's a better takeaway. Just if you avoid mechanics.
Retake away.
Yeah, retake away. If you avoid providing players with mechanics that draw cards during their turn or, you know, draw unknown elements during their turn, you make it a lot easier for them to plan out their turn in advance and speed up the game.
And then give them something in a future turn. People like getting things in the future as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. I have a thought, and I'm going to save it for our next episode. It's a little teaser, but I want to bring up the game Challengers because I'm curious to hear... what you guys are going to think about this. Yeah. We'll
wait, what's the next episode?
We'll leave you hanging.
Oh, we should have done challengers.
We'll talk about it in our bonus episode, which is...
Wait, our bonus episode?
We wrap up our deck builder series, yeah. But any last thought, though, about paperback?
I don't enjoy word games. Once I got past that initial couple turns, I did start enjoying this one a lot more. So I would love to play it again now that I understand it better.
Mm-hmm. And I do enjoy word games.
And he also enjoyed it.
Yeah. And I like games. But I also like word games. So, yeah. Awesome. We will see you next episode.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Tabletop Takeaway. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. So please tell your friends and visit our website at thetabletoptakeaway.com, where you can suggest games and mechanics for us to cover next on the show.